At University of Virginia Health System, we're for sharing the latest health information from top minds to keep you and your family healthy. With UVA Health System Radio, here's Melanie Cole.
You may think of scoliosis as a condition that affects children, but many adults need help dealing with scoliosis and other spinal deformities. My guest is Dr. Justin Smith. He's a neurosurgeon and co-director of the UVA Spine Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Smith. What are the most common spinal deformities in adults? I mean, we've heard about children, you know, wearing those back braces when they're young to keep their spines set while they grow. But what about adults?
Right. Well, thank you for having me. In older adults, the most common spinal deformities result from the spine wearing out, and they're referred to as degenerative conditions or degenerative scoliosis. And that's actually fairly prevalent in older adults. In younger adults, it's often leftover deformity from childhood or adolescence that either didn't need to be treated and has progressed somewhat, or perhaps just was not treated sufficiently. So in younger adults, it's often leftover deformity from childhood, and in older adults, it's often accumulated changes of wear and tear that result in the deformities.
Now, people are back pain, leg pain, you know, pain going through your buttocks, and I mean, back pain is so common. So how do you know that it's an actual deformity versus any other kind of, you know, some sort of a stenosis or really muscular pain, anything?
Right. That's a great question. And often people don't know that they have a deformity until they come in and have an X-ray done, and the X-ray shows that there is a curvature to the spine. In younger children, the curves are often very pronounced and obvious from the outside, but in older adults, the curves can be much less dramatic and maybe only apparent on X-rays. And so really the way we diagnose it is based on plain X-rays in the office.
Okay, so you've done your plain X-rays, you've seen, is this something that had they seen it earlier, would they have seen it as a child, would they have seen it as a teenager or in their 20s and been able to maybe do something in advance of that?
No, that's a great question as well. In older adults, there's often nothing that can really be done other than just trying to stay fit and taking care of yourself and not smoking and some of the risk factors for the spine wearing out. But there really isn't a way of preventing it. Certainly in children, there are ways sometimes with braces and surgical treatment to try to treat it so that it doesn't become as much of a problem in adulthood. But the most common form is as the spine wears out. And there really isn't, unfortunately, a lot to do at this point to prevent that.
And what about treatments? If this is something that you find out that you have, is it painful, just like an arthritic condition? Is it more painful? What are you doing about it?
In older adults, the prevalence of this kind of a condition is very high. There are some studies that suggest that once we reach our 60s and 70s, about half of us will have some curvature to the spine. So obviously, there are a lot of patients out there, people out there, who don't have symptoms from it. And if they don't have any symptoms or concerns, we don't do anything about it other than perhaps following it over time. When patients present, they're often presenting with back pain, as you mentioned, or leg pain because nerves may get pinched from the deformity or narrowing or stenosis, as we call it. And in those kind of situations, we often try to really pursue non-operative treatments first, such as physical therapy, medications, sometimes steroid injections, and we try to help patients with the symptoms. Certainly if they present with neurodeficits, such as weakness or evidence of spinal cord compression or something imminent, then we may talk about surgery sooner than later. But otherwise, we try to avoid surgery if we can. And in patients who don't respond to those non-operative treatments, surgery can become an option. They're fairly large surgeries typically, though, and so we try to avoid them if we can.
And since this occurs in many older adults, surgery then becomes a little bit even more, you know, something controversial. You're not sure you want to do it. It's a big deal for older people. Now, if we're talking about physical therapy, stretching, strengthening exercises, and you mentioned medications, do anti-inflammatories, things for, is it pain management? What are you doing medication-wise?
Right. For the medications, anti-inflammatories are often very helpful, such as the non-steroidals. Of course, we have to be careful with kidney function and other issues as well, but the non-steroidals can often be very helpful. There are medications such as Neurontin to help sometimes with some of the nerve pain. Narcotics we typically try to avoid if we can because they tend to not be good long-term solutions for most cases. But that's typically as far as the medications go, and we often will send people to a pain management specialist if it gets to that point where we want to try some of the more atypical medications.
Now, I know that you mentioned narcotics, and so this is something I know you want to steer clear of. And in pain management, is that what they're doing? What are they doing for that pain?
You know, different pain management specialists have different philosophies. I generally would encourage patients to avoid narcotics if they can. Sometimes they're very older adults who are not good surgical candidates, but nothing else seems to be helping, and pain specialists will try a limited dose of narcotics, and sometimes that's enough to help them get through the day. But by and large, a long-term solution with narcotics is often not the best because it's really kind of masking the symptoms, and patients can build tolerance to the narcotics. That's often not the best solution.
Now, is there a time when spine stabilization surgery is required?
Required is
okay. Required. Yeah. It might be called for. Or it might be something
more
that the patient
considered. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. Well, yeah, I take it because sometimes it can be more or less required if there's spinal cord compression or progressive neurological deficits, which isn't as common. But in those kinds of cases, you could consider it required. But otherwise, it's a very personal decision, and it really comes down to quality of life and how much the deformity and the pain is impacting the patient. And if it gets to a point where the non-operative therapies are just not providing satisfactory quality of life and relief of the symptoms and the pain, then surgical options are often discussed with the patient.
And is it worthwhile to keep fit, to keep stretching, strengthening, keep the muscles around your spine strong? And please, what about back braces?
Absolutely. It is certainly important to keep strong. And I often, when I initially see patients in the clinic, we'll send them for a course of physical therapy and some basic conditioning. And if they can't tolerate land-based, sometimes we'll do aqua therapy, so physical therapy in the water. I think it's very important to stay fit and to keep the muscles around the spine strong. As far as back braces in adults, they really have not been shown to be of benefit. And my concern with those is that they can lead to some deconditioning of the muscles. In children where they're still growing and the deformity is rapidly progressing because their bones are still growing, braces can be helpful to hold the spine in place as it's growing. But in adults, I generally try to steer clear of braces.
That's good advice. And is there something people can do for their own lifestyle pain management at home, icing your back, any of those kinds of things? Do they work?
I think it's very individualized, and I often tell patients that, you know, they'll ask if heat or ice is better, and I'll say try each and see what works better. It's really a personalized situation. Some patients may find that laying in certain positions or stretching in certain ways are helpful, and I think really the key is just finding what helps for the individual.
Certainly it is. It's very personal. Now, can you sort of wrap it up in the last minute or and a half or so, Dr. Smith, about adult spinal deformities, adult scoliosis, and give the patients a little bit of information on how you work at UVA?
At UVA, I see quite a few initial patients each day, and I often just get to know them first and talk about what their condition is and go through their imaging studies and discuss their symptoms and try to come up with a plan. Again, as I mentioned, I try to avoid surgery when we can. Certainly when it comes to the point, if they need surgery, we're a center that does a lot of adult deformity surgery, and we're a center where patients should consider coming because you want the specialist for these kinds of big surgeries. But that said, we're not a center that really pushes surgery. We're a center that tends to focus on non-operative therapies first, and when those fail, then we can talk about surgical options. The goal is really just to try to individualize the therapy and help to improve the quality of life of each individual patient.
Thank you so much, Dr. Justin Smith, neurosurgeon and co-director of the UVA Spine Center. For more information, you can go to uvahealth.com. That's uvahealth.com. You're listening to UVA Health System Radio. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.